Welcome to Fantasy Picks Movie Edition, the podcast where we review movies that were overhyped but did not make it in the box office or were a critical failure. In some cases, they succeeded with both, but not the hardcore fans. I am your host, Robert Moda. And joining me today, I have Mark Kirkman from Adrenaline Cinemas and Panels of Pixels.
It's been an interesting year in Hollywood. A lot of things have happened. Some great movies have come out. Some bad movies that were supposed to be good have not done very well. There have been some surprises out there. There's also been a lot of talks behind the industry where, you know, things with the streaming services, things with industry news, with things like Discovery and HBO and the things that are going on over there. Things also with the same thing with Disney. The beginning of the year, you know, we saw a lot of controversy out there. But what I wanted to start with was, you know, I just want to start with the top movies of this year. And the reason I want to start with that is because they've been some great surprises. What have you seen that you think, you know, has been great for you?
In movies, well, I'm going to go take it way back to when Prey came out, something that I was supposed to cover with Steve Brown on Adrenaline Cinema, who is also my co-host on Panels the Pixels podcast. But we never got to it, unfortunately. I really want to get to that eventually. But I thought it was done very well, and it was direct to Hulu, and it was a Hulu movie.
Right.
And I really enjoyed that. It took the Predator series back to its origins in the very beginning. And I thought it was done very well. Next up would be Jordan Peele's Nope.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing to actually watch. And he hit it out of the park again.
Right.
You know, he's coming one after the other. Culturally aware about people and having more race involved. We had Glenn from The Walking Dead in there as well.
Correct.
An amazing cast of color, which, you know, we need more of. And you and I have already covered it on Adrenaline Cinema. We did Uncharted, which was fun, and it's a fun filled game movie,
right?
And it was done very much in the likes of how the game was played. That was amazing.
So you like Uncharted? I mean, even though Uncharted was not a very big success,
I still like it regardless.
You still liked it? Okay.
Yeah. To me, I think it did well in the theater for fans,
right?
But I don't think it did well as far as monetarily for the movie industry itself or the movie company.
My thing on that was I think that I've heard that there were people that were divided. Like, you had hardcore fans. Some were divided, some were not. Yeah, a lot of people did not like the idea of Tom Holland being
that character.
Drake, because they were saying how, you know, he was too young. But that being said, I mean, it wasn't a movie that I thought was that great, but it was entertaining enough.
Yeah, I look at it on a whole entertainment spectrum when it comes to those particular movies.
We'll start with this. So one of the most surprising movies, but it was one of these things that this movie could have come out during the pandemic. They could have done the same thing they did with other big tent movies, like they did with Wonder Woman 84 and things like that, which was Top Gun Maverick.
Exactly.
Tom Cruise, Jennifer Connelly, Miles Teller, Glenn Powell, Val Kilmer actually came on it. Movie made till this day $1.48 billion out of a budget of $170 million. So this was a movie that was unexpected to make that much.
Yeah.
But a lot of people gravitated towards it. A lot of people liked it. The chemistry between Tom Cruise and Jennifer Connelly were great. Miles Teller was great in it. The really cool thing about that very emotional part with Val Kilmer in it. So it was a movie that grabbed, I think, everybody, and it did very well in the box office. Are they going to make a second one or a third one? I don't know if they will. No. But it was a movie that really, really, like, Tom Cruise was so adamant about making sure that this had to be seen in the theaters. And I think, you know, I think that was actually a very good call. I mean, they waited. I mean, this thing could have came, I think this would have come out 2 years ago. But they waited until the pandemic was done and people went to the movies, you know, like crazy.
Oh, it was really anticipated, honestly, when it was first talked about. It was before the pandemic hit.
Right.
And the fact that they delayed it. They did the right thing in delaying it, because this is a movie that you had to see in the theater.
No, absolutely. I mean, I've seen it. I saw it like at least, I think, 3 or 4 times in the theater. And then, of course, once I got it on 4K Blu-ray, I seen it another 3 or 4 times, too. So it's just a great, great movie. I think, you know, soundtrack is great. And it made people come back, you know, to the movies, which is something that we've been missing, especially since the pandemic. The other one is The Batman. Also very surprising. Yep. I went into it thinking that it was going to be a flop. I'm not a big Robert Pattinson fan, but I think he did a great job on that. Zoe Kravitz was another one that I didn't think she was going to do well with Catwoman, but she did. Paul Dano just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
When it came to that. But the biggest surprise of the whole thing was Colin Farrell,
yeah.
As the Penguin. That was such an amazing transformation that he did, which now they're thinking of actually doing a standalone series in HBO Max, but that's something that's still up in the air.
I think that's where DC will probably go for a little while before we got James Gunn coming in and creating his own DCU.
We'll cover that in just a moment.
I know that. Yeah, but that one's gonna be covered. That was actually on my list, the Batman.
Yeah.
And you and I had covered that on Panels to Pixels too.
Right.
I think that was one of the first few podcasts that you were on.
Right.
And just in preps. And I launched that before I went to Atlanta.
Right. And then another one, like you were saying, Prey, Amber Midthunder. I thought she was great on that. Mm-hmm. That movie was only a $65 million budget, but it, of course, that came out in Hulu. So, of course, they don't say, you know, how much money it made or anything like that. But it did kind of bring back the Predator franchise and refreshed it.
Yes.
The creature looked a little bit different, but still the same.
Yeah.
But it had, I mean, great effects, great action, great story behind it. Phenomenal. And then the biggest surprise, I think, out of the year was Everything Everywhere All at Once.
It was an interesting twist on a movie.
It had some great performances by Michelle Yeoh, which Michelle Yeoh, I mean, in this movie basically is her resume of all the stuff that she could do. I mean, from martial arts acting, being funny, being dramatic, being everything that you could think of that Michelle Yeoh can actually be, she did it in this movie. Funny enough, this movie only cost, I think, $25 million, but it made about $103 million.
Yeah,
but it's a movie that showed that you could have a low-budget film still become a phenomenon out there. And this was actually great. And it brought back Ki Hu Kwan, which was, for those
short
of you
round.
Guys, Short Round in the Indiana Jones movies. And he did also a phenomenal job in this. I mean, I was so surprised how well his part was. And I mean, so much emotions that he conveyed through the whole thing. So, but very well acted. So very good movie. I was very surprised. And of course, Oscar contender for the Oscars coming up. And then, like you were saying, Nope, which was $68 million budget. It did $171 million. But Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer was like the real big star coming out of this. Jordan Peele's third movie. Mm-hmm. So he did a great job, and it's a really awesome take on the UFO thing.
Yeah.
I thought was really good.
Yeah, it brought UFOs back into the world and you know, getting us all elated about that. Others that I would also recommend, like X. If you remember that movie, X.
X? Which movie?
It has Jenna Ortega and a few other actors in it. It was about people doing an X-rated film out in the backwoods, like in Texas or something.
Oh, yes, yes. I heard something about that. I didn't see it. I mean, what was the
reaction? I saw it. It was very well done for a low-budget film.
Right.
It gained critical acclaim. And now we have a new movie that came out just after that within 2022 called Pearl, which is a
Right.
prequel. And I think they already have their own little series within it, but it's Jenna Ortega before she came out as Wednesday Addams in
Right.
Wednesday, the series on Netflix. But she was also in, Your Babysitter is a Killer or something like that.
Okay.
She it was a way for her to get out there in the world and get that Wednesday act, the character,
Right.
and get that role. And I think that that's really cool. Other things I would say, I really love The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent with Pedro Pascal and Nick Cage.
Never got to see it. Didn't do well at all in the movie theaters from what I hear.
No.
But it's Nicolas Cage. So I was looking forward to it. I just never got around to it. So it's
It's
something that's in my list.
entertaining.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining, action-packed. You get a great laugh out of both Nicolas Cage and Pedro Pascal. So, mind you, Wonder Woman 1984, Pedro
Right.
Pascal was in that, was over the top in that. This, it shows his comedic style chops.
Right.
So I think it works with this particular movie. If it wasn't a hit in the theaters, it was definitely a hit on streaming and on demand. And
Right.
I think it's something that people should check out.
All right. Well,
And then lastly, I would just mention Hellraiser, the remake that we got.
that's been I saw it. I was somewhat kind of divide
Amused.
I was right I was divided on it. One, I think it was still somewhat, I mean, when you look at both movies,
Yeah.
like the first Hellraiser and this one, the Cenobites very different on the on this version of Hellraiser. It entertained me, and it was okay. I came out of it going, all right, that's a different take on it. I just didn't see it, just didn't knock my knocks my socks off on that, and I was just like, all right. So and then but then you go back to seeing the other Hellraiser movies, and you're like, holy shit, those are really bad. I mean. Top flops of the year. So top flops of the year, man. This also was a monumental year for that.
Yes, belly flops, big
Yes.
time.
One to me, one of the biggest ones, and there were some. So Sony's version of Morbius was just hideous. Definitely a big box office bomb. Well, I don't know if it's a box office bomb. I didn't take a look at the numbers,
It
but
made money and gained appeal by viewers or fans,
right.
but regardless, it was terrible in story.
Yes,
They
critically,
could
it
have
was they.
cut it away, and hence why I did not cover this on Panels Depictions,
Yeah, they
ladies and gentlemen.
decimated that. All the critics decimated that movie. But the biggest one, honestly, was Dwayne the Rock Johnson. I mean, I think this was Dwayne the Rock Johnson's year of kind of getting his ego unchecked, because
Yeah, that's on my
Black
list
Adam,
too. Black Adam was terrible. You and I have had many conversations about this, and it had promise and the idea and appeal, but the writing was just poor.
yes.
They had decent characters and moments here and there, but that's all I'll say good about it. After that, they really needed to recheck themselves when they did the story.
Yeah, no, it was a movie that I mean, if this was what Dwayne Johnson was working for 15 years, I have to question his choices as because I think he thought that his brand was going to reignite the DCEU, which it did not.
No, it
And
didn't.
the fact that they bought in and the desperate and I think it was a desperate move to bring in Henry Cavill at the end to try to actually get viewers to go to the movies to see this. And while it did a little bit, it still wasn't enough for people to go out there to watch this movie. And we'll talk about the whole DCEU thing and everything with Henry Cavill and how things happen. But yeah, that to me was a flop. Morbius was a flop. The other one that was, and of course, which I found strange that it did not do very well, was Pixar's Lightyear.
Oh yes, that, but that was the direct to Disney Plus.
It was direct. No, actually, it was still they
Oh, it
still
was in theater as well
they
as
did
Disney
release
Plus.
it in
Yeah.
theaters, but a lot of people
Simulcast.
did not, and I enjoyed it.
I actually did enjoy it too,
I
yeah.
enjoyed it, but it was just for Pixar's, track record, it just didn't do very well. So that was a big flop there. You had Strange Worlds, which I also watched on HBO Max, not on HBO Max, on Disney Plus the other day. And I have to admit, this was a horrible, horrible animated movie. I just
Yeah.
did not like it at all, and I could see why. And they spent a lot of money on it, but I could see why a lot of people just didn't go see it. It was just one of these movies that just didn't attract people. And then Moonfall was the other
Oh
one.
yeah, I have that on my list. Yeah.
Moonfall was just a horrible, horrible. But funny enough, as the more I heard about how bad it was, I just wanted to see it. And I
Yep.
got to see it, and I will say this, I was entertained
It was entertained for a bad movie,
because
is what I say.
Roland Emmerich, it's one of those things. He knows how to do disaster movies.
Yes.
There is no other man out there that knows how to actually destroy Earth. And this time, having the moon, try to fall on top of the Earth, I was like, listen, I mean, it's a great. You have to go into it with saying, you know what, probably a shot of bourbon, maybe you might, want to smoke something and go in and just enjoy it for what it is. But not a great, not the greatest story, not the greatest dialogue. Fun if you have nothing else better to do and you're doing it from home and you didn't spend money on this. Other than that, a big disaster for this movie.
It was a big disaster, but the best takeaway out of it was John Bradley as the scientist, the English
Yes.
scientist that's living in America, but also deals with his mom.
Right.
And we know him from Game of Thrones. And I thought, he was great comic relief in it. And I
He
think
was.
that's what really made me appreciate it, even though it was a bad film.
Right. Yeah, and for me personally, I mean, those were actually major flops this year that the industry actually had to deal with.
There's a couple more.
Yeah, no, but for
The
me,
Monsters.
Monsters was actually horrible too. For me, personal flops on that were Thor: Love and Thunder. While they made money and a lot of people liked it, critically, but a lot of diehard fans just thought that they took the comedic part of
Too
Thor
much.
way too much.
Yeah, they did.
And
And we
I
didn't cover
definitely,
that for a reason,
yeah, no,
too.
I definitely agree with them. It's just it. While I love the character and I love what he did with Thor Ragnarok, I just think he took it way too far on this one. Jane Foster's story of her becoming Thor, but also having cancer, I just felt that that's a very deep level subject, and for it to be in a comedic movie just didn't make sense for me. So
Yeah, but like
I thought that
I've
was a miss.
always said this, they could always bring Jane Foster back as the Mighty Thor for Secret Wars when we
Right.
get the multiverse stuff going on.
She might come back as Valkyrie too, because in the comic book she came back as Valkyrie. So,
Exactly. So
yes.
they have so much to work with, and
We.
Natalie Portman wiped away the bad taste in her mouth from Thor 2.
Right. I mean, we'll have to see what happens because Disney is going through some changes right now. The
Yeah.
other one for me, while you did like it, I was not a big fan of it, was Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yes, it had its moments. There's a lot of things critical about it. I do agree with you,
Right.
but overall, I did enjoy it for what it was, and that was why when we covered that, I did enjoy it.
I think I would have enjoyed it more seeing as how Phase 4 was supposed to be about the multiverse and how WandaVision put that out there.
Yes.
Especially Spider-Man No Way Home was all about the multiverse. And then it just seems like that movie and this movie did not have any relations to it. Like
It
that
kind of
nothing.
clashed. There was only one little seed that really intertwined both, and that was
Right, and
about
that
it.
was about it. But I really expected more when it came to that whole multiverse thing. And
Could have been a Sony Marvel relation thing at that point.
could have been. I mean, this Phase 4 has been very strange. So.
We have a lot more to look forward to with the next phases as well, too. So we'll get into that when we get to that point.
Top MCU movies or series this year.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special was probably the best project that they did in this entire phase. It was
Yes, it.
heartfelt. It was a lot of fun for a 1 hour show. It did so much more than some of the other shows out there.
Yeah, and I same thing with Werewolf by Night, which I thought was pretty good. And I have to say, Moon Knight.
Moon Knight, I was not a big fan of. Some people were a fan of it, some people weren't. It just didn't grab me the way, but then again, I'm not a big fan of the character itself.
Yeah.
A lot of people compare him to, like, being like Bruce Wayne
Batman.
and stuff like that. Like Marvel's version of Batman, I don't see it. But
A
that
lot
being
of
said,
people have that hard time, but I think they kind of differentiated it within the show itself too.
correct.
He's got multiple personalities. He's not a rich billionaire, so,
Right.
and in this case, it's all about soul searching and mental health,
Yes.
which
And
we cover too on Panels to Pixels. So.
yeah, and then Wakanda Forever was actually pretty good. Not as good as I would have hoped. I did not
Same here.
like Ironheart. I didn't like that character at all, and I did not like the take on Namor. But that being said, I mean, it was a very heartfelt send off to Chadwick Boseman, who passed away from colon cancer. And those scenes did really they tugged at your heart a bit. They
Yeah,
were very well
especially the
done,
opening
right?
crawl too with the MCU crawl, because it
Correct.
was every moment with Chadwick within the MCU,
Yeah. My
very much
biggest
like they did with Stan Lee.
right, my biggest problem with that movie was that for a character that was so big in Avengers Endgame, it was big on some of the
Civil
other
War.
Civil War. You would think that Black Panther passing away, you would have more heroes attend that funeral. But you didn't see that. And not only that, but this movie, for some reason, was it I think the director Ryan Coogler,
Yes.
he did not want, I mean, or at least from what I've read, he did not want to somehow try to attach this movie to
With
the
the other MCU properties that
ongoing
are out
arc,
there,
right?
yeah.
Ongoing arc of what's going on for phase four or phase five. It was just supposed to be, and I thought that was a mistake. I
I
mean,
think it's a mistake too. They should have at least had Bucky, because Bucky was brought to Wakanda.
Exactly. So
You could have the
something like
White
that.
Wolf there as well.
Yeah.
And maybe have, Captain America himself, Chris Evans, come back as Captain America through time, showing his respect.
Or
Maybe.
something, right? Or
Yeah.
something like that. But and then of course, I felt that some, and I remember somebody out there saying that the underwater effects would rival Avatar. And I was like, no.
No.
As a matter of fact, this movie seemed very rushed at some point,
Yeah, it
and
was.
like the effects for that weren't that great. So like I said, the take on Namor, I just did not like. Did not like the whole, trying to change the entire origin of it. That's just me personally.
Yeah.
For other people did like that part of it. That's fine. It just wasn't my thing. Like I said, there were some great things in this movie, but then there were other things that I just questioned and I said, well, is what it is. I'm not gonna trash it because of Chadwick Boseman, but other than that, I mean,
It
it
entertained
let
us,
it
ladies and
entertain it
gentlemen.
entertained, but it left me wanting
More.
more and to see other things. There was just, like I said, there were just certain things I didn't like. Star Wars has some good things also pop in
Yes.
this year, but also some bad things. Most of it, honestly, not as great as I thought.
Andor was really good.
Andor was actually the exception, and I started with Andor, honestly, hating it. I didn't like the first two episodes. I thought they were just very slow. After that, it just kind of, and I'm not a big fan of Diego Luna's. I thought Andor, the actual character of Andor, is just a boring character. I always thought of him as a boring character during Rogue One. But as you get to see the series and you get to see all the politics that are going on with the Empire, and
Yes.
towards the end, that big surprise on what it was that they were working on in the prison, made it one of those shows that you went, damn, shit, now I like this whole show. So
yeah,
that was actually a very good surprise. And it was, you know, it was a way to actually show that you could actually have a serious Star Wars movie for fans mm-hmm. out there. It doesn't have to always be for the kids, you know? Yeah. So Obi-Wan was another one that, to me, it failed in a lot of things. It had some really good things. I didn't like the character of the second sister or whatever it was. I just thought that was a horrible part. But at the same time, you know, and this is spoilers if nobody out there has seen this show, but the fact that they had Leia instead of Luke Skywalker was a big deceit. A lot of, you know, I don't think that's the character that they should have concentrated on. I think, you know, Luke should have been the character that should have concentrated on.
I think we will get that in the second season when that comes out.
Well, if they come out with a second season, that's the whole thing. I mean, the way things are going now, we have to see if, you know, what they're going to do with that. But yeah, there's been some surprising stuff out there.
Like the Book of Boba Fett had its ups and its downs as well.
I personally hate it. That whole show.
A lot of people did.
They took such an amazing character that had, you know, mystique. It had, you know, and he was very intriguing, mysterious, badass, you know, that nobody messed with. And next thing you know, they just made him into this like happy-go-lucky bald guy that just, you know, that's smiling as he walks, you know, down the street at people. I was like, that's not Boba Fett, but
it's not. No,
here's what's interesting. I just read something this.
They're going to make him a cannibal.
Well, I was reading that Tamora Morrison put out a tweet saying that he would like to see the character go back to its roots of being a badass.
That would be great.
So, which means that even he probably did not agree with all the choices they did with Boba Fett.
I'm pretty sure he had a little bit of creative differences with the script.
Yeah, but it wasn't that great. I mean, I think that this year, you know, they released more than they probably should have. Top movies to look forward to in 2023. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Yeah, so that's going to be very interesting to see how this kicks off phase 5 for the MCU and see how that goes. I mean, phase 4 has been very questionable and we don't have a clear understanding of, you know, what they're trying to do. So hopefully this will kind of kick it into the right direction, and we'll see. We'll see how that goes. The other one that's really big and it's been getting announced a lot is Oppenheimer.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I'm looking forward to that's history.
Yeah.
Right there.
And that's going to be done by Christopher Nolan, who's actually, but we'll see how that goes. I mean, I'm hoping that actually is pretty good. I'm looking forward to that. Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yes.
I mean, just by seeing Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special made me really look forward to the third movie because it's fun being with those characters again.
James Gunn always puts out a really good movie.
Yeah.
And especially with these characters. And that's how basically his career skyrocketed after movies like Slither and, you know, Brightburn and everything else. He literally.
By the way, Brightburn, I think he was just a producer or executive producer.
But for the fact that he had a hand in it, now he's dealing with DC, which is basically that movie was, you know, evil Superman.
Exactly.
But so there's also cool movies that are coming out, Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Yeah, across Sony. The Spider-Verse. I mean, when they released that trailer, I mean, the amount of Spider-Mans they had in there were just insane.
Crazy.
From Spider-Mans from the Sony video game, the PlayStation game, just an insane amount of different Spider-Mans. I was watching a video.
Spider-Man from the Fantastic Four where he puts a paper bag over his head.
They couldn't give him the Fantastic Four uniform logo. Right, yeah. But you know they were having fun with that. I was like, All right, I look forward to that. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, the
Yes.
fifth installment of the Indiana Jones series. Hopefully, this is going to be Harrison Ford's last time doing Indiana Jones,
Has
playing
to
that
be.
character. And we'll see where it goes. We'll see how this ends, and does it end, or does it, does it, is it going to get continued, or is it going to get a reboot at some time in, in the future? So,
We also have John Wick Chapter 4 coming out.
John Wick Chapter 4, which looks also amazing, and I mean, it's amazing. I find it interesting that all three movies take place within, I would say, a week. If you look at the all three movies, you're like, yeah, this took place within like a few days.
So
All
literally
three.
it's a month and a half of John Wick's life.
Yeah, so this is probably like, yeah, exactly, like week three or something like that, or some
Yeah,
crazy
well,
stuff
I
like.
still have to cover John Wick Chapter 3 with my friend Cat Craft on Adrenaline
Right.
Cinema. We started the series off. We haven't really gotten to that point, and then we did Nobody,
Right.
and that's how we left it off. We're gonna try to get back to that before John Wick Chapter 4 comes out,
Yeah, but John
but
Wick,
the.
John Wick Chapter 4 looks pretty amazing. Of course, it's very over the top. And talking about over the top, Mission Impossible 7, of course,
Oh
with
yeah.
Tom Cruise doing all the Mission Impossible movies has gotten to the point where people are looking forward to that, just like we used to look forward to Jackie Chan doing movies and what crazy stunts he was going to do. And
Yeah.
this is more of, hey, what else is Tom Cruise going to do that's so
Is
crazy?
he already snapped his leg during a movie? Is he gonna snap his neck going into
Yeah,
space?
he did that on what is it, Mission Impossible Fallout, where he broke his ankle. But
Yeah.
yeah, we just got to see what crazy stuff he's gonna do on that. The other one is The Marvels, which is supposed to have Captain Marvel, is supposed to have Miss Marvel. I forgot who else is supposed to be in there. What other
It was Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel, as far as I know, but there's supposed to be a third,
they're
yeah.
supposed
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Is it Ma Monica? I know
Yeah, Monica Rambeau
Monica Rambeau is supposed to be in that
from
too.
WandaVision.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm forgetting her character because she had several names, but she also took up the name and mantle of Captain Marvel in the
Correct.
comics. So,
Photon, wasn't one of them
Photon, you're right.
Photon or something like that? Yeah. So, and then of course, Dune 2, which I so enjoyed the first one. It
I
is
still have to sit and watch.
the.
It's one of those movies that you actually have to sit down and prep your mind for because it's a lot of information. And go through.
Funny enough, it's not as cerebral as I would say, like the first Dune that came out
In the 80s.
in the 80s. Yeah, no, it's not like that. I mean, this is br I mean, the visuals are breathtaking. The sound, the sound design was phenomenal on this, and of course,
The cast.
Hans Zimmer's soundtrack was also insane on that, but the cast was also great too.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that too, very much.
If we talk about little things, you already talked about Crazy, but let's talk about the most weirdest stuff that's going to be coming out. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. And of all things, Cocaine
Blood
Bear.
and I saw the trailer to that, and I was laughing so much. I was like, I'm just gonna give
You got to
money.
talk about outrageous films as well, and
Yeah,
both
it's
those
just
are two a little bit outrageous.
those things are, I mean, I don't know. I looked at this and I was like, who the fuck's idea was this? Because
It's because the IP, the people that own the IP, let it slide, and people could still use it. And that
Wait, so
mostly that's
is
Disney.
Cocaine Bears like a property, like an old
No,
property?
I'm talking about Winnie the Pooh,
Oh,
Blood and
Winnie the
Honey.
Pooh, well, Blood and Honey, yeah.
That's how they were able to make that
No,
because
I'm talking about
Cocaine
like,
Bear.
yeah, I saw
That
that
was
trailer.
based after a true story, so.
I saw that trailer and I was like, who came up with this? I mean, insane. But yeah, no, that's something I'm definitely gonna look forward to.
And more outrageous would be Kraven the Hunter
Well, we'll see
from
how that, yeah,
Sony.
we'll see how
And
that one goes.
The Flash.
The Flash is something that, yeah, we'll get into that in just a moment with,
Yep.
so. in industry news, let's talk about this. First, I mean, as everybody knows, with the Discovery and HBO merger, a lot of things had to change. Discovery had to go in and just pretty much look at every project there is, because of course HBO and Warner Brothers are so much in debt that they need to do a lot of cutbacks. But at the same time, somebody in Warner Brothers said, especially I think in Discovery, said, hey, we need to have our version of Kevin Feige. And what they did was they just got James Gunn, you know, from Guardians of the Galaxy and of course doing Suicide Squad, to take over and make sure that everything that they do from this point on will relate to each other and will be just in one universe as opposed to be standalone things. And of course, the biggest thing he did was kill the Snyderverse, which means that Henry Cavill, after making his announcement online that he was going to come back as Superman, then he was out of a job, because now they're going to just reboot the entire universe.
And he's got to recast Superman at this point.
Yeah, and he's actually working on the script, and I think he might even direct the next Superman coming out.
He might kick it off for this and then hand it over to somebody else, because being, you know, content supervisor, as it were, for DC.
What's interesting about that is the fact that, one, like as we were saying, you know, with Black Adam, Dwayne Johnson, very arrogant, was like, you know, hey, the hierarchy of power is about to change. Well, yeah, it did, because he does not have a job anymore too. So they can't, they're not going to do a Black Adam suit. He never wanted to do a versus with Shazam. His whole thing was with Superman. So he tried to bring in Henry Cavill in. You know, it seemed very arrogant of him trying to be the one that, like, hey, I'm going to kick this off. And in the end, that did not happen. So, I mean, Henry Cavill, from a lot of people think, well, you know, he was going to be Superman. And so that's why he left The Witcher. I think a lot of people have heard that The Witcher, the reason he left The Witcher was because the writers did not respect the IP. And since he's such a big nerd when it comes to that, he was just about to, he was going to leave. And I mean, listen, the guy's not out of a job. He's now going to be doing Warhammer with Amazon.
Yeah.
Prime. But that being said, James Gunn is changing things around. What really surprises me is that The Flash is still going to come out. You've got Aquaman 2 that is still going to come out. And you have, I believe, what's the other one that's, I forgot what the other one's coming out. But the fact that if you're getting rid of the Snyderverse, why would I even invest myself in these two other movies if I know that nothing is going to continue from that? So that's why I'm very surprised that those movies are going to come out, but yet that he's going to change everything. And while I agree and don't agree of what he's doing, because I mean, Henry Cavill is my favorite Superman, and I wish I would have seen him in another movie. I understand, you know, you just can't put a Band-Aid on a franchise that has been taken to like 17 different ways and not, you know, be as cohesive and not be as, you know, organized as Marvel has, even though Phase 4 for Marvel hasn't been like the best. But still, that being said, that what Marvel has is the one thing that a lot of people who are trying to actually do these IPs with these universes are, you know, is nobody's, it's very hard to do what Marvel's doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what James Gunn does. I'm going to give him that chance. At first, I was like, no, I don't, you know, I don't agree with it. But then after thinking about it, I was like, all right, you know, it, again, you're putting a Band-Aid on something that's so horrible that how do you fix an IP that just, you know, has gone in so many different directions? It's a lot harder to do that than probably just saying, you know what, let's just reboot from the very beginning. What do you think?
I think they can't really put a Band-Aid over a gushing wound. And that's literally exactly what they were trying to do for a long time.
Right.
With some of these movies. And they needed, they saw what James Gunn had to offer with Guardians of the Galaxy with Marvel. And the funny thing is that James went back and did Guardians of the Galaxy, the holiday special.
Right.
And then finished up Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And then you get Kevin Feige congratulating him and wishing him the best and looking forward to what he could bring.
Right.
Meaning that even Kevin Feige is looking forward to a DC movie that's good.
Hey, listen, I mean,
it's a lot of respect.
Exactly. So I think actually he was they were filming the holiday special at the same time that they were doing Guardians 3.
Yes.
Yeah, so which was crazy. But yeah, so I mean that's that part there with, you know, Warner Brothers and Discovery, which is also very interesting to see what they're going to come up with, you know, because again, there's going to be a lot of changes. They, you know, talking about some of the DC stuff, but they canceled Batgirl.
They filmed 3/4 of the movie.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where James Gunn or, you know, Warner Brothers and everybody's just going in there and it's like, listen, it's about time to, you know, let's try to do something of quality as opposed to quantity, which it, we'll get into that in a moment. On
well,
how
quality would be like the Joker 2 that's coming out, as right. well as the Batman sequel that's going to be
and
coming out.
And those are
as
still
well.
Coming out. So those
they're all standalones. They're yeah. not part of the Snyderverse. They're standalone DC properties from Warner Brothers, which made a lot of money.
Right. And from what I've been hearing is they're trying to see if somehow they can make the Batman a part of the new universe that they're doing, because they could if they wanted to.
They can make it a multiverse. Come on. They haven't done Crisis on Infinite Earths in the DCU.
I think they need to like really put a slowdown on this multiverse thing, because everybody's trying to do the same thing and it's just
CW did that already yeah. with their Flash universe, or actually the Arrowverse, I should say, because that's what Ben Beck actually did when he did DC Primetime, and he covered all the CW stuff.
Right.
And he was right in ending DC Primetime after Infinite Crisis, which is Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Correct.
But they did it so well, all the other shows started, you know, falling behind. The Flash started falling behind. Now it's in its last season, I believe.
Right. Well, let's be honest. I mean, a lot of the CW stuff has really fallen. I mean, they canceled Batwoman. They've canceled Stargirl. The yeah. quality of it is not that great. I mean, on
Titans is still doing well on HBO, I believe.
And I'll be surprised. Yeah, and I'll be surprised if they don't cancel that too, because with all the cancellations that they've been doing, I would not be surprised if they cancel that one.
The best DC property they did put on HBO was the Watchmen series.
Which
I thought that was
which
done
it, right, and unfortunately, it was meant to only be one season,
a one off.
Yeah. So, which maybe that's the best thing, because as soon as you get into a second season, it might actually kill, you know,
yeah.
the quality of what they had there. But talking about, you know, changes, so one of the big news this year was Bob Iger coming back to Disney to basically try to put Disney back in, you know, back where it's supposed to go. I mean, they spent so much money on Disney Plus, and of course, a lot of people did not like the changes that were happening around Disney. One of them
Bob Chapek's. That was all his thoughts, and a lot of it was literally sucking dry of the guests that come to Disney.
Oh my God. I mean, from what I hear, like food went up in price, the ticket prices went up in price, but also they wanted to charge a premium for all the popular rides. So if you really wanted to get on that, you had to pay extra.
Yes.
Whether Bob Iger is going to change all that or not, I don't know. But I mean, the fact that he's coming in, I think it's a 2-year plan that he's going to come in and try to get, because I mean, Bob Iger has always been about the creative, the people and the creatives that are actually, you know, out there creating these things, and not the, I mean, he's still a money guy, but he's yeah. also really big into the creative part of it. I'll be very interested on seeing what he does, because I think he's also gonna, you know, they're also gonna try to revamp a lot of what Disney Plus is.
Yeah,
the fact that they came out with so many shows in 1 year with Star Wars and MCU, Almost an over, almost an oversaturation of it, and
and Willow too,
right,
to
and the
boot.
quality was not. Yeah, let me tell you, I've been watching Willow. It has not impressed me at all.
I had hopes for it within the first two episodes, and then as soon as they started modernizing it, I was like, I see where they're going, but also it's not appealing to the core audience that you want with the original Willow, which is literally about the kids. Now you're making it too adult. You're using four letter curse words in it, and putting adult themes in it. And I think,
I just think they, for something that's supposed to be like medieval, something that's supposed to be, take place in the past, there's way too much modern language and modern things happening on this. The fact
correct.
that, I mean, this last episode that I saw, spoilers for those of you, so if you want to shut off things now, that now's the time. The fact that you had trolls that were talking, with an
Yes.
English accent and just, it's
That
just like
bothered me.
that. I was just like, what the hell is
And then
this?
they brought in Christian Slater.
I didn't mind Christian Slater, but it was, yeah, they brought him in, they killed him right away. We'll see if he's so. So another thing that's actually huge also is the fact that now YouTube actually acquired Sunday Night Football, and that's a bold thing that Google did. I mean, Google has all the money in the world, so sure, of course they could do that, but they're trying to, I think they're trying to get people to do Sunday Night Football because of course YouTube has YouTube TV, so hopefully to get more subscribers to subscribe to YouTube TV. I have YouTube TV and it's excellent, service. I think it's great. So yeah, no, it's something that now people are gonna have to be like, shit, now I gotta subscribe to YouTube TV
Another one.
or something else. So, and then of course there the big one of the biggest talks this year was the Oscar slap, what happened with Will Smith in the Oscars, in the
Chris
beginning of the
Rock.
year, and Chris Rock. Incredible that one, he's trying to do this whole comeback thing. He has that new show on Apple TV, Emancipation. He did not get any nominations on that. So he was hoping to, he I think he was trying to do this, this whole comeback. I was like, man, that's a little too soon, dude.
Yeah, it is.
I think that slap is still very fresh in people's minds and stuff like that. So, I mean, listen, I'm willing to forgive and forget. It's not like, Mel Gibson, which, his comeback was very, very slow, and he still never came back the way he used to be. I mean, he's doing movies now, but I mean, such a phenomenal actor to just ruin his career that
Career.
way. But Will Smith again, also another very, and he was the most likable, one of the most likable actors out there. And for him to do what he did, and now he can't even go to the, I think he's been banned from the Oscars or from membership to the Oscars, or to the Academy for 10 years. So yeah, we have to see what's gonna happen on that. Anything that you could think of that, probably happened in the industry this year that's worth mentioning?
Nothing at the moment.
Nothing at the
Not that I
moment.
think of, yeah, not that, not that I could
Yeah.
think of, but yeah, that a lot of that is world shattering between the Oscars, especially with Disney. Disney,
Right.
that's a big thing too, because it involves families and everybody's getaway. And with them launching Galaxy's Edge throughout the pandemic and then, overcharging, that
Yeah.
was the biggest thing. It's like
Yeah.
charging for every park in Disney World as an
Charging
individual.
you get charged $100 something to get in, and now you're being charged even more for every ride,
Yeah, and
and that is just outrageous. I mean,
it's like, all right, they need John Hammond from Jurassic Park because he even said this is not just for the super rich. And I am sure, Chapek was like, well, we'll have a coupon day. And honestly, no, that's not going to happen. That's why they got rid of him. He got rid of Chapek and
Right.
got Iger back because Iger appealed to the families. He appealed to the artists, the people that do create and make it worthwhile.
The thing that we have to see is whether Iger is going to now, take that away, for the part, So that's going to be an interesting, next year be very interesting to hear whether, he's going to change things when it comes to that.
It's going to be touch and go. Yeah. But, you know, I have high hopes in the sense that they'll try to make it easier because you have people who have family passes for years or people that live within, like, let's say in Florida and they're going to Disney World. Because you live there, you get a discount and you can go at a certain time because it's like.
Well, they took that away. You know that.
Yeah,
right?
they took that away, but right. They could bring that back.
They could bring that back, yeah. So we'll see. We'll have to see what happens there. Streaming wars. Interesting. So most people, you know, I know a lot of people, they always are asking me, hey, man, I'm looking for a way to cut the cord. And I would say Netflix is the biggest one because Netflix, during the pandemic, they decided that they wanted to do a new show almost every week.
Yeah.
They've been pouring tons of money into these shows. And a lot of these shows, you know, have not been great. I mean, things like Red Notice. With The Rock just wasn't received very well. And, you know, they say, of course, it was the biggest streaming, you know, one of the largest streaming shows out there, but they never publicly put out, you know, what those numbers were. That being said, Netflix is now going to go into an ad model and it's going to now start cracking down on account sharing this coming year. So we're going to have to see how that goes. The surprising part of Netflix was because Netflix, you know, has not put out really great shows. I mean, they've done some, you know, like Stranger Things.
Yeah.
They've done a few things, but nothing that I would say will really, you know, make you come back for something that can you look for. Yeah, I don't know. It just, they're not there. But the biggest surprise was actually Wednesday. This thing came out of left field for a property that's 60 years old. Or over 60 years old, and it was the number two or number three most streamed show in Netflix history.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, I think that what they're going to try to do is one, that maybe the ad model is going to probably work for them to get extra revenue in order for them to actually come out with better shows. But I think also they need to slow it down and just do some good quality stuff as opposed to trying to pour so many shows into it. I mean, I can't even imagine the amount of money that they're just rolling out there. And from what I hear, a lot of shows have actually been canceled or they're redoing the budget because they're like, listen, we're no longer there anymore.
Yeah, they're bleeding out is what it is. They're
right.
They're banking on these shows to grab more subscribers. Honestly, that's how it works.
Right.
But they're also investing into these shows and they're pumping out content. All right, this looks like something to invest in. They actually did that the way they started, if you look at it, there were shows like Orange is the New Black that launched it and got everybody all excited because it was original content
right.
at that time. And people kept going. And then they acquired the Marvel properties with Daredevil and Punisher and then doing the Defenders and Jessica right. Jones and you know, Iron
Fist. Yeah, but they lost a lot of that. And a lot of people, you know, of course, one of the things that's going to be interesting to see, because with Disney Plus, which of course Disney's like, hey, we're, you know, we own all this. Why not, you know, do our own streams? But I think it's going to be interesting because I think that's what's going to happen is that Disney Plus is going to probably say, hey, instead of us hoarding it all, let's just license this again out there. And, you know, so because that's another way of actually bringing in revenue to these streaming services and these companies, because just hoarding it to yourself and just hoping that you're just going to continuously get new subscribers is wishful thinking.
Well, that a lot of that stems on the fact that they had to change their format to give you adult content so that it wasn't flagged, because with those Netflix shows going to Disney Plus, they had to make them and for mature,
right?
So that way they could keep it. Now, mind you, they did edit it a little bit because they weren't happy with the content, but it's still there in its purest format,
right?
And we get that. And now that, you know, Disney is going to be putting out a Deadpool 3 movie, which is going to be rated R, and we're getting more R-rated style material a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
They're changing it up.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how they're going to handle that, because I know that Disney Plus in other countries, especially in India. So in India, Disney Plus was huge because, of course, what is it, a cricket? or something like that, the sport. And because they lost that, there's a good chance that they might lose a lot of subscribers also on that. Now, mind you that out in India, they don't charge people, you know, per month the way they do us here. So if we pay, I don't know, $10 a month for Disney Plus, over there, they're probably paying like, you know, $2 or $3 a month for that. That being said, but they still might lose, you know, a lot of those subscribers. So I'd be very interested to see what Disney Plus is going to do. Again, Disney Plus was just hemorrhaging money also with the, you know, with the Marvel series, with the Star Wars stuff. Wars I mean, series, these are these are expensive projects. And so I'd be very interested to see what Bob Iger does when it comes to that and see. He might just say, listen, instead of putting five shows a freaking year, we're going to only put two or one. But it's going to be very good quality, just
and
like they
longer
did right.
formats.
Exactly, just like they did with Andor. I think with Andor, I mean that was a that's a great way of putting something out. You tell me that I'm going to have that good quality, but I have to probably wait a year for it. I'll be fine with that. I'm not a problem. It's not a problem with that. The problem with these streaming services that you know a lot. So Netflix has always been the type that says, hey, we put out the entire series all in one shot. So the binging model, Netflix is the one that came up with that. And a lot of people love that. But once Disney Plus came out, especially with their premiere show, which was The Mandalorian, it was weekly. And all of a sudden we went back to discussing a show every week.
At the water cooler. Every week.
Right. The water cooler, you know, talk every week about it as opposed to doing a binge. You know, you do a binge, you talk about it once, and you forget about it. So it'll be very interesting to see how Disney Plus and how Netflix tackle that and how everybody else is going to tackle that. Hulu, which is also part of the Disney family, will, I mean, they own part of it. I know the other part, I think, is owned by either Comcast or something like that, but I'd be very interested to see if what they're going to do is try to actually buy out Comcast from, you know, for their part, or if they're just going to sell it, or see how they're going to actually put this in. So how they're going to merge Hulu and Disney Plus together in the future. So that would be very interesting. I know Hulu comes out with some original stuff. Like I said, they came out with Prey, which actually was excellent.
Yep. Movie.
Yeah.
And then they did Pam and Tommy, the TV series.
Correct.
Which was a short series. They have Chip and Dale's now.
Yes.
And
the other one was what's the one with the women that are being it's like a dystopian future kind of thing with
Handmaid's Tale?
Handmaid's Tale. So that's okay. That's all, you know, original Hulu so
content. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, Discovery and HBO. Now, because Discovery bought out HBO, the biggest thing, the biggest question has been is what's going to happen with both streaming services? And I think what they mentioned was that Discovery is going to merge with HBO and the HBO name will go away. So it's just going to be called Max. And probably inside, they're going to do probably the same thing that Disney Plus does with their tabs, which you have the Marvel tab, you have the, you know, Star Wars tab, Net Geo tab. So they might do something like that where you'll have
you
HBO
choose the particular content that you want based upon your preference.
So that's going to be a that's going to be very interesting to see how that's going to go. And then of course, you know, how much they're going to charge for that, because of course I'm sure the prices on that are going to go up.
Yeah
Prime having a lot of money. One of their biggest disasters from what I hear was the Lord of the Rings show, you know,
the Rings of Power.
The Rings of Power. I hear they're going to try to go back to make it seem more like the movies, like the original movies, or make it more try to emulate a lot of the stuff that, you know, that's in the books. Because what happened was when they bought the property for Lord of the Rings, they didn't buy everything.
Well, the family didn't want to give up a lot of it. So the Tolkien family didn't want to sell completely. They only gave it so much. A lot of what the Rings of Power is supposed to be were based on the Silmarillion, which the family did not sell, which is the history of the rings and how they are. So they basically took other stories that the son and the grandson had continued writing in Tolkien lore that added, you know, predating the actual Lord of the Rings series.
And we'll see. Hobbit. Well, we'll have to see what happens there, because that's interesting. Because this, let me say, I saw it and I was not a big fan of it.
Yeah,
it was okay.
Yeah,
and there was some part. Some people actually complained about the visual effects. I thought they were just, you know, they were just fine.
They're okay.
They were okay. House of the Dragon, I think, was a much better show.
Yeah, but that was HBO, and HBO.
But that was HBO, right?
Yeah.
But you know, actually, House of the Dragon costs less to make than Rings of Power.
Yes,
I will be very interested to know where the fuck did all that money go. I mean, you guys spent billions and billions of dollars. Where is that money going? So, I think they need to get an auditor in there. But that being said, I think that there's some changes that are coming to Prime now with Henry Cavill going to Warhammer.
Yep, and Good Omens too.
Yeah, so that I just finished seeing Jack Ryan. That was actually very good. So, you know, Prime has some good shows. They're still not up there like Netflix or like, you know, Disney Plus, but I would say it'll be very interesting to see what's going to come up this year and what, you know, properties they're going to, you know, come up
with. Yeah, it'd be nice. They do come, like, if you think about it, every paid streaming service that we have, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Disney Plus,
HBO Max
all have dedicated shows that everybody wants. So with Disney owning ESPN, Disney Plus, and one other that I'm thinking, Nat Geo, and a couple others, they're grouping, and you could get a combined, you know, service plan that holds all three apps, and you have the same
Disney
login.
Yeah, Disney Plus, or at least the Disney company who owns also ESPN. I know they have a package for Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN. Again, seeing what that does. The other one that we didn't mention was Apple TV. Apple TV actually has, you know, so
Apple TV Plus. Yeah.
Yeah. Apple TV has gotten also into that arena. I don't think they're trying to compete the same way as.
No, but they do have. They have really good content.
They have excellent content.
The Servant, Mythic Quest, Ted Lasso, which is gaining major praise, which is coming back for its final season soon.
Right.
And then a whole bunch of slew others that they put out that go under, like, physical, which getting into.
The one thing that Apple TV did, of course, last year, winning the Oscar for Best Picture for Coda, and then, of course, you know, Ted Lasso also being such a great hit. So Apple TV has the ability and the money, honestly, to come up with some great stuff. It'll be very interesting to see what they're going to do this coming year.
Same here.
With some of the things that they're doing. I think they were hoping that, you know, Emancipation would have been something that, you know, would have gotten them another Oscar or something like that. But because of, you know, Will Smith being stupid.
Yep.
Of course, you know, that didn't happen. And of course, he got snubbed on that one. So, that's pretty much our year end, review on a lot of the things that have been happening in the industry. And of course, in a lot of things there. So, I know we haven't been on for a while, as everybody out there may or may not know. I mean, of course, you know, well, this is a project of love. I mean, we all have, you know, day jobs. So, since we work in an industry, Mark and I work in an industry where during the holidays, it takes up so much of our times, and it's just been very hard for me to get back. But I'm hoping that 2023 is going to, you know, be a lot better. It'll be our second year with this podcast. We're going to do some, you know, probably do some changes that are going to help the podcast, which are great.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to go on hiatus probably for like a month or two and then come back and then hopefully hit it hard. I'm hoping to be a little more consistent with the podcast itself too.
Yeah.
Try to have maybe more people come on and, you know, and participate in our, you know, fantasy picks and things like that, which a lot of people, from what I hear, enjoy. The one thing I would say is, of course, you know, subscribe and, you know, and like, it does definitely help the podcast and helps us grow out there. And of course, word of mouth is always great on that. But that being said, that's pretty much our show for today. Mark, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me on Adrenaline Cinema Podcast on the Pyrocore Entertainment Network, just like Fantasy Picks Movie Edition is. There we cover, you know, action, adventure, thriller, suspense films. After you listen to this, you could easily just go straight to that particular podcast, and Ocean's 11 review will be up with me and Ben Beck. You could look forward to hearing Rob being on for Ocean's 12 and 13 review as well, as we discuss the whole trilogy, as it were. So we're going to continue that on within the next few months. Probably once a month, we'll probably do those. And I threw a few feelers out there for other movies. So just all you have to do is go to facebook.com/adrenalinecinemapodcast. You could also hear me on Panels to Pixels podcast, soon to be on the Pyrocore Entertainment Network, because I'll be moving that from Next Level Online Radio Podcast Network over to Pyrocore.
All right, guys. So thank you so much. I want to wish everybody a great holidays. I mean, hopefully, you know, for those of you who celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas for you guys. Happy Hanukkah. And happy holidays for everybody. But also, I wish you guys a really good New Year's coming up. Hopefully, everybody's going to be safe. And let's hope that this coming year brings us, you know, a lot better things than 2022. That being said, once again, you know, to support this podcast, just, you know, to make sure you subscribe and you know, just spread word of mouth. And let other people know that, you know, if you enjoy it, you know, let them know. Other than that, I will hopefully see you guys within, you know, probably within 2 months and go from there. So, yeah, that's it for the show. And thank you so much for you guys, especially those who have actually tuned in all, every month. I do appreciate your support. And thank you so much for tuning in and, you know, and keeping us around, you know, for some laughs.
Awesome.
All right, everybody, that is it.
Goodbye.
See you next year.
Yep, see you next year.